Hey everyone, happy Martin Luther King Day.
Okay, San Francisco, damn, I thank you for tuning in. Dede LaFrac, keep it real, won't you tell it like it is. Bohemian woman up in San Francisco, talking life, plenty convo. Super honest, you already know, the dopest, coolest podcast, yo. Yeah, sharing her life, her stories, I hope you ready, sit back, relax.
Hi guys, Dede Dam here for San Francisco Dam. This is your show for Martin Luther King Day in America. It is January 15th, 2024. I hope everybody is doing beautiful. Of course, happy birthday to Dr. King, civil rights icon, and to all of my birthday children around the world, wherever you are. I hope you're having a beautiful birthday here in San Francisco and all that well-deserved nickname. It is trench coat weather for me. I've got on a trench coat, my signature pink beret, some beautiful feminine leggings, some comfortable hippy-dippy walking shoes, and no scarf. What can I say? Didn't even need gloves. So there are some positives. Living in Commie for an IA, San Fran Fentanyl, well-deserved nickname. So let me get right into the fact that it is Dr. King Day. My favorite artist, who is Stevie Wonder. I love Stevie Wonder more than I could describe. He's my emotional father figure. By the way, thank you, new listeners, for being here. Regular listeners, I feel I've spoken about Stevie Wonder a lot, and sometimes I don't like to be redundant, repetitive, or sound pretty corny. But I do love Stevie Wonder more than words could say. Ever since I was a little girl, I knew my father didn't love me. Well, I knew he didn't love me because he proved it by his apathy. You see, love is an action verb. It doesn't matter. Somebody could tell you they love you all day long, but if they don't show it, they don't love you. Well, my father didn't show that he loved me, but it's not a tragedy. My parents were married. So there was room in my life for a father figure. I was intellectually precocious enough to understand that my father's behavior was not normal. I knew that when I was a little girl. I knew there was nothing wrong with me. I knew my mother wasn't at fault. I knew it was my father's fault, really. My mother did not sit around talking about my father. She only said one thing about him that I remember. One thing, and that was it. Throughout the childhood, it was like she did not diss him at all. So I knew I needed a father figure from all my off-curriculum reading, my favorite comic book, Mad Magazine. Mad Magazine, all the divorced dads in the comics were coming by to see their kids. All of the books that I was reading, the divorced dads would come by and see their kids. My father chose not to. My mother didn't keep him away. And that is one of the biggest lies in the Black community, is that the women chase the dads away. That's the stupidest thing, because raising children is expensive. That's like saying, don't give me money, right? It's, you know, so many lies to worship Black males. I have to keep it real, to like make them look good. Oh, those women chasing those men away. Oh, those women are gold diggers. What money? I digress. Let me get to the point about Stevie Wonder. So he was my hero, my father figure. I was totally in love with him, not a physical love, like an emotional art love. I would obsessively listen to Stevie Wonder records. Oh my God, the biggest Stevie Wonder fan. In fact, matter of fact, I bum rushed a Stevie Wonder concert when I was a young teenage girl in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The Commodores opened up for him. And it was after I'd went to my dad's house. Of course, like a lot of these absentee sociopaths, he lived in the same neighborhood. So I went to his house. That was back in the day when you needed a chaperone. So one of my big sisters had to chaperone me. My mother like, go over there with Dede. Don't let her go over there by herself. So one of my big sisters walked over with me, and I knocked at my father's door and like, why aren't you being a father? Why aren't you paying alimony? Like, what's the matter with you? Yeah, that's what happens when you read Mad Magazine. You are intellectually precocious. My father got so upset. He's like, get her out of here or I'm going to call the police. Guys, I was crushed. I was heartbroken. I mean, any conversation I would have with my father, I would be the one reaching out. And at the end, I was the one to reach out and tell him that my mother was deceased. But this is not a tragedy because of Stevie Wonder. So I bring Stevie Wonder up so passionately and so diligently to let you know that because of his dedication and perseverance, he galvanized. He heard about Martin Luther King's assassination when he was 15 years old. It broke him. He was crying like, why don't they love us? What's the matter with America? What did we do as Black people? So that lit a fire in his soul, the assassination of Dr. King in 68 when he was 15. And decades later, in 1986, he had and those resulting years galvanized the movement to have President Reagan make Dr. King's birthday a federal holiday. Stevie Wonder did that. And his song, Happy Birthday to Ya. Happy Birthday to Ya. Happy Birthday. That's about Dr. Martin Luther King. And he was very passionately doing speeches and just guilt tripping these politicians. And some politicians did not want to make Dr. King's birthday a holiday. So I say this to say this. I love you, Stevie Wonder. Happy birthday, Dr. Martin Luther King. And sometimes what it takes is one man to change the world and make a movement. And that man is Stevie Wonder. And the man before him was Dr. Martin Luther King. So thank you, two gentlemen, for everything you have done for the world. So guys, I think tipping culture is over now. To me, tipping culture is over. I'm done with it. I'm done with it today as I'm recording Monday, January 15th, 2024. I went to get a burrito in the Mission District. It is, you know what? California excels in Mexican food, Vietnamese food, and Thai food. I say that's the best food California does. Mexican, Vietnamese, and Thai. So I went to get a burrito. And they were kind of grouchy. Listen, I am the type of black woman. I say I'm a good tipper. I don't want people to think I'm a stereotype or I'm gauche or I'm Blackistani or ghetto. I don't know how to tip. I don't know social norms, social niceties. Oh, yes, I do. I have a high level of sophistication. People like to see me around, except the gatekeeping wenches who try to block me. And I'm going to make a video about that. So I went to get a burrito in the Mission today. Behind the counter, they were kind of brusque to everybody, not just me, brusque, but I'm doing my how to win friends, influence people. Dr. Wayne Dyer, assertively trained. How are you doing? Like, you work for me. I don't need you. You need me, but I'm polite. How are you doing? They were a little brusque, and then they brightened up. Oh, everything's okay. And then a lady said to me, move up in line. I'm like, I am not moving. These people got masks on. These people still think they have COVID, like trying to boss me around. But I didn't, you know, I didn't get black and standy on her. There are no ghetto girl buttons to push. I'm making a point here. Order this takeout burrito. And it's San Francisco. The thing total ended up being like 12 something dollars. Yes, ish. It's expensive out here. So I ordered this burrito. So I get to the counter and the guy's kind of brusque. How you doing? He couldn't make eye contact. Gruff and brusque. You know, do your thing. And so I put the card in, and then he flipped the little tip thing. Guys, don't ask me for money after you have been a jerk, because I don't play that. I'm assertively trained. The man expected a tip, and this is my first time. I'm here since the 80s, guys. This is my first time that I can remember. I tip on a takeout donut. I tip on takeout pizza. I tip on takeout Vietnamese pho. That's pho for you guys, but it's pho. I tip. This is the first time that I can remember, guys, that I did not tip, and I'm going to keep it up. Sometimes I tip because I say, okay, I don't want these people to think that people like me, you know, brown-skinned black woman, when they see brown-skinned black women, they think we don't tip. So I'm tipping for the culture. I'm not going to tip for the culture anymore. I'm not tipping for the culture anymore. And he looked, he turned around, he saw I didn't give him a tip, and he kept his brusque countenance on his face. Na 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 na. Now, here's the deal, guys. We don't teach people how to treat us. What we do is observe how people act and move accordingly. I'm going to watch how they move before I tip. If I'm at a bar and I order a glass of wine or I order a sparkling water and this waitress, this bartender got a stank attitude and they're sitting there and I'm typically tipping $2 on a $10 or $12 drink. I ain't doing it no more. I don't care if they think I'm cheap. I don't care. This is my revolution, my anti-tipping revolution on Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday, January 15, 2024. No more. Miss Nice Girl, be nice or feel the breeze of a big fat zero tip. There you go, folks. So that's what's been happening for me in San Fran Fentanyl. Other stuff, of course, but I do not overshare. I know some of you come and you listen. What is she going to be talking about? Is she going to talk about me? Nah, I'm not going to talk about you, you narcissist. thank you so much, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. I hope you're doing well again. Happy birthday to all my birthday children. Let's give thanks to the goddess in the sky for Stevie Wonder and Dr. Martin Luther King, and you for listening, subscribing, and recommending. I appreciate you so much. I love you. I am Dee Dee Dam. I trust my vibe. San Francisco Dam.
Thank you for listening to San Francisco Dam with Dee Dee LaFrac. Remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Anchor App, Spotify, and wherever podcasts are found.